This mic is taking up 75% of my screen. Yeah. I had to crop out my forehead, which is too big to begin with, and then it's covering nearly my entire body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is a very exciting day because Cole just got a new microphone. Friends? Is that what we get to call our listeners?
Yeah.
Wow. How cute.
Or we call them offers.
I don't like that.
They're friends. We just get to call them friends. Everyone has a funny little nickname for their listeners, the fans.
Well, ours is the best one in the whole entire universe.
Yeah, what's Dax Shepherd's? He calls them, so his podcast is Armchair Expert, and he calls his listeners
Armies.
Armchair-ees.
Armchair-ees?
Yeah, he's like, oh, fellow armchair-ees. I'm like, ugh, that's just...
I mean,
he's a creative... I mean, this guy has directed movies, and he couldn't think of anything else.
Yeah. So, how have you been? What are you drinking?
Tequila on ice.
Oh, not straight out of the bottle like usual?
Okay. Jasmine, I don't need you attacking me for how I spend my weeknights, okay?
You're going to see what I'm drinking, and you're going to be jealous.
Okay.
It is a blackberry raspberry marshmallow sour.
Oh, so you're having juice.
It's a beer.
I'm going to go with juice on that one. I'm going to go with
don't you love that it's a marshmallow, juice. Though? How fun.
That is ridiculous.
I like it. They put fruit puree and actually they put marshmallows in. And yeah, it happens at the end. It just like infuses the beer, but I think it's fun. By the way, I do think that I'm speaking in a way that is odd lately. And
finally, you admit it. Do you want to talk about your accent now or
it's
maybe
not bad.
Another time or
it's I keep saying stupid things the past couple days. Like yesterday I got vaccinated and I texted my sister one word and that word was vaccined. And I don't know why. And
you
then
said
she,
what? Vaccined?
I said vaccined. Like,
oh, it sounded like
I was trying to say like I'm vaccinated, but for some reason I said vaccined. And then she responded with yikes. Did it make you forget how to speak English? Speaking of the vaccine, did you hear today? I had a ton of messages. So everyone was messaging me today being like, hey, did you know that, or have you tried putting a magnet or a quarter on your injection site? Apparently it's magnetic, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, well, this sounds just like a lot of misinformation that's being spread by some anti-vaxxers. But let me just go do it just to ease your mind. Because I obviously responded because I was like, I don't want this person to think that that's a thing.
So hear me out on this. Someone convinced people to microwave pennies because they said that they will melt down and boil together into a ball. And they provided this huge scientific background of, you know, the copper mends together and creates a spherical-like structure. And people were, like, showing these pictures of inside of a microwave of, you know, they put a bowl of pennies and then a ball of copper came out. They're like, this is the craziest thing ever. And a bunch of people did it. And one guy burned his fucking house down. It's not true. People just make shit up so that you and I talk about it on a podcast. 100%.
No, I know. And for clout, like on TikTok and stuff. Obviously, that was my initial thought. I was like, it's not a microchip. Like, that's what some people are probably saying. But then I was like, is it even possible for that to happen? Like, is there something in... Like, I just was trying to look for a rational explanation as to why that would possibly be a thing that could happen.
Newsflash, you didn't find one.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think you're missing the point of what I'm saying. You're looking at me with this very annoying, condescending face. And I actually want to, like, hit it.
Thank God I'm across national borders.
You're not understanding what the hell I'm saying. Stop disagreeing with me about something that's not even disagreeable.
It's not disagreeable. The vaccines make you magnetic.
Oh my God.
The whole time, you're talking, I don't know if people can see this on video. I just wanted to go, stop talking. What the hell? The thing is, I'm not every time saying you hear that something I think crazy, that it happened. Now, Jasmine, I have never interrupted you in my life. Jasmine, when you hear something crazy, don't let it just stew in your brain. Because that's
it wasn't
when you
stewing.
Let it sit inside.
Oh my God, you're it missing what I'm saying. The first person
I
you message.
I want to. I would imagine
oh
you
God.
Did it.
Okay, you need to understand. Here's what happened. Here's what really happened. Someone messaged me and said, does a magnet stick to your injection site? I've been seeing this all over the internet and videos and stuff, and I'm just like wondering if that's true. And I responded immediately and was like, no, that's absolutely 100% not true. So then I wanted to investigate the rational explanation, which I couldn't find because all I could find was articles debunking the idea of there being microchips, which I already knew. But I'm like, why isn't anyone addressing these stupid videos?
Yeah, I mean,
should I get a magnet right now? You get a magnet and I'll get a magnet. Go get a magnet. I'll get a magnet. Do it. Do it.
I've gotten my vaccine almost 2 weeks ago. There's no way a magnet sticks to me. I don't have magnets in there. I'm not seven.
Okay, hang on.
I'm not a mom. I don't have magnets on the fridge.
I'll be right.
Jesus Christ. We're never going to record this.
Don't post this on Instagram because I don't want anyone thinking that I'm actually thinking that.
I'm 1,000% posting this on Instagram.
Don't. I see you. I know what you're doing.
I'm not doing
this. I know exactly what you're doing. You're trying to be subtle. Okay.
I'm not doing anything.
Okay, then, fine. Okay, anything. Disclaimer, I don't think that there's microchips in me. I just want to see if this stupid...
She doesn't think there's microchips in her, but she has an inkling that it could potentially make you magnetic.
I don't have an inkling of anything. I'm saying that people are saying that, so let's find out.
Okay.
Hang on, Cole. I don't even know where my vaccination's
at. Wow, fell right off. And busted.
Stop acting like I'm trying to prove that this is real. I want
to. You're literally you're on a camera right now, trying to prove it.
I'm trying to disprove it.
Okay, what I want you to do? Here's the test. Okay, I'm gonna control it. Okay, No. Just stop rubbing it around. Where did you get injected?
I don't know.
I want you to grab it with two fingers, and I want you to place it on the sorest part of your arm.
Here, maybe.
And yeah,
it's not magnetic.
It's not magnetic. Oh, weird. That's a shocker.
Weird. I even knew that, okay?
You're just hella mad right now because you realize how crazy you sound.
You're spinning the misinformation now.
I'm spinning the misinformation.
Yeah, you're spinning misinformation about me being a freaking conspiracy theorist, crazy nutso.
I don't have to say anything, Jasmine.
Come on. Don't even do that to me.
They call her old magnet woman drinking lambics.
Whatever. Okay, that got so off track. I don't think magnets. Yeah. I don't think.
Oh, that's pretty great. Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to be discussing episode 5 of season 1 of 1, Bachelorette Canada, here with my special guest, Jasmine Lorimer.
Your special guest? Wow, are you now the primary podcast host, Cole? Is this it?
Well, I got the big boy mic, so I feel pretty good about...
I've had this mic the whole time. I'm so excited that you have this mic, Cole. You have no idea.
I know. Now we're mic buddies. I'm going to call you Oscar. You call me Mike. You can cut that out. That's Oscar Mike. Wait, hold up. My microphone's name is Oscar's. Yours is named Mike.
Yours is Oscar's, plural?
Oscar.
You just said
and
Oscar.
Yours is... No. Yeah. I wouldn't... No, Jasmine, I would never have said that. And again, I don't want to get into another tiff. And I know I say this all the time on the podcast, but I really don't want to fight. We always fight.
Yeah, that's what we do.
But anywho, this podcast, I'm going to be working really hard to not say, or well, because... Jasmine has been spending 10 plus hours cross-legged on a couch,
sometimes
destroying her back. sometimes at a table. She sits on top of a table, crisscrossed, and is editing, and Eric is frustrated with her.
No, he's not. He's very patient with me. But you know what? My knees have been hurting, and you guys would not believe how much editing goes into these podcasts. I thought people, like, I just want to spare people all of the ums. That's all.
Leave a couple in.
Oh, I do. Like, I do.
Oh, boy.
I do. I just want you to use, I want you to try to throw in some variety. Give me some, all right, so, and some,
I'm
here we go.
Really next. Work on it.
Okay.
This is why I have my brain juice. But anyway, okay. So the boys and you have entered Montreal.
I hate that you say it like that. I hate it.
It's
That's
just,
not even how
I'm trying
they
to pronounce it.
It
exactly how it's pronounced. That is
That's not
correct.
And no one does that crazy thing with their face when they say it. No one
they
shows their
do.
Teeth that hard ever.
Oh, no. It's very wolf-like there. Okay, anyway. So it starts off with a solo date, and a solo date card is issued in the same weird fashion that it always seems to be. The beginning of most of these episodes, I'd say every other episode, is this great little intro video of you walking around town or a garden or a glen, like a wooded glen. And like somewhere where Bambi would live. You're just kind of having a walk and just looking around. And honestly, if someone just took that video and said, here's Jasmine at 20 minutes after taking mushrooms, I'd be like, yep, sure, that makes sense. Like, oh, wow. Ooh, it's so funny. But you know the producer's just going, okay, now look over there. And ooh, that's a bird. Do you see the bird? Like, it's so weird.
Okay, that's actually incredibly accurate, because this is what actually happens for those scenes. And you see them throughout all of the Bachelor franchise shows, those little clips, those little B-roll moments, which is what we called it, B-roll stuff. So I would actually have in my schedule every day, usually. Well, I don't know if it was every day, but every location we went to, I would have.
Wait, hold up. Do they tell you all right, what if something bad happens, you need to look somber?
They would kind of. I forget, but
okay, here, now you're happy. Now you're hopeful.
But listen, so we would walk around whatever location we were at, or if there was going to be a moment where they need some footage to overlay with my audio of me talking about things in the interview room or whatever. And all that I remember from those B-roll sessions was that I always seem to be overlooking a body of water. And I always just burn my retinas. I would have to shut my eyes and be like, okay, 1, 2, 3, and open my eyes, because I just was squinting so much and it was always so bright. The sun is reflecting off the water. I just remember my retinas getting fried all the time.
That's hilarious. I really like that. But anyway, you always, you know, start these little walkabouts talking about what you're hoping for and what you're excited for with the show. And you mention and you continue to say the word, and I've brought this up before, future husband, about 4 to 8 times over the course of 30 seconds. I wrote it down for this episode. It's five times. It's a lot, and it's more disconcerting every time I hear it. And I just want that to be a quick side note. I don't even need a retort from you. I just want to say it flat out. Women don't, and men don't call women. Sorry. Women, women and men. Please do not call someone unless you have had a discussion with them, your future husband or future wife, because that person may go missing. We're just going to leave it at that. So anyway, I'm noticing that there's a lot of Mickey D's ad placement on throughout all this. I think the guys get breakfast or something, and they always do this weird kind of scan shot of it's like McDonald's Cafe. It's not McDonald's.
It's McCafe.
Who cares? It's McDonald's Cafe. And I just find that funny. They're always eating it. It's just the ad placement is so two lotions.
The advertising in The Bachelorette Canada is much more overt than in The Bachelor US.
I mean, yeah, you have to be a little blatant with it.
Our budgets are not as high, so we need that. We need that funding.
You need that Skrilla. You need that Australian wine money. Yep. Anyway, Noah comes in with a date card, and I realized that this guy may or may not be conservatively 7'6". Confirm or deny.
He is super tall.
He's Yao Ming tall. He's very tall.
I mean, I don't think he's tall.
He's like, yeah, a ladder.
I forget exactly. You're going to have to ask him. I don't know.
What's his number?
I'm not going to give that to you.
I'm just going to text him. Like, how tall are you? It's Cole's friend. I just realized. It's Cole's friend. This is a side point. Oh, God damn it. The tequila's hitting, folks. No, it's Jazz's friend. I know you guys were super toy on the show. You know, a great brother figure. And I just want to know how tall you are, bro. And if I could be a special guest on your fanfare or your festival foods or whatever the show is called, I would do it.
Carnival Eats.
Incredible Eats.
I want to be Carnival Eats, you dink. I want to be on that show more than anything.
So Noah brings in the date card. He's incredibly tall. The solo date goes to a Pack Mike, one of the sweetest people out there. Now, before nice this guy, date commences, sure. Oh yeah, they give you a little, you know, quizzical phrase or something, a little hint as to what the date will be about. And it was something about, you know, can you handle the height or something? And I literally looked over at Deanna and I said, helicopter date.
Oh.
Second helicopter date. And lo and behold, you guys arrive at a helipad or something.
Yeah.
And yeah, you go on this little helicopter date. My first question before the date commences, we get into all that, which is pretty bland, to be honest. How long do you know beforehand the dates? Did they tell you as you're walking out to the date? You're like, oh, fuck, I guess I'm going on a date with 8-Pack Mike.
Well, this is the thing. Like I've said before, I didn't always have a hand in making the decisions. I just trusted them. I wanted them to do their thing. And they kind of made it fun for me because a lot of it was also a surprise for me. So like
the date was?
Yeah. Like usually I would find out the day
that
of.
Makes sense.
And so it was quite fun. Like I enjoyed that part of it because in the morning they'd come and be like, do you want to know what you're doing today? And it was like Christmas every day. I'd get to find out what I was doing and who I was doing it with. And I feel like that's like a controversial sort of statement to be like, I didn't plan or say who went on what date. But they knew me. They knew who I liked. Like I talked to them all freaking day. I talked to them for hours and hours and hours and hours every day. All we did was talk about me. I actually, coming back from the show, I didn't even know how to talk to anyone else about anybody other than myself. It was super weird because...
No, you still don't know how to do that.
So, anyway, it was not as controversial as it may sound when I say that I didn't have a hand in making those decisions. It felt like I was making those decisions in a roundabout kind of way. So to answer your question, I usually find out the morning of... And then would be super pumped and excited.
Oh, okay, great. So anyway, helicopter date. Mike is super cute. He's just so great. I'm now a Mike fan. These are just direct notes.
Mm-hmm.
Then you guys have cocktails back at the hotel.
Did you just call them cocktails? Did you just get a Brooklyn accent all of a sudden?
Cocktails. Back at the hotel or wherever. You guys start talking about, you know, wants and needs in a relationship if this were to progress further. As most of your conversations with the guys are going, they're getting a little bit more serious, talking about, you know, what the other person wants, what they're looking for to make sure you guys are a long-term compatible match, which I appreciate. That makes sense. But you kind of ask the question, so you live in Winnipeg. Do you want to live in Winnipeg forever?
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of explains that he has to live there because that's where his career is. Now, if I'm not mistaken, he's a firefighter.
Mm-hmm.
So the overall question here is, do all of the fires in Canada happen in Winnipeg?
I think it must have to do
serious with question.
I think it must have to do with rank. It's got to have to do with rank. Like, I mean, okay, first
like how,
of all,
how also, bad he smells at the end of the day? Like, what do you mean? So I just found that a little weird. And then you guys kind of come to a conclusion in which you'd be willing to do that because it's close to where you grew up, which I kind of understood. The first thing you guys connected on, in the beginning was that he was kind of a little bit more of a hometown boy because he was from a town that was nearby. So I understood that. That was good. Anyway, Mike gets the solo date rosé. And then you guys dance.
It was so uncomfortable and awkward for me. I didn't know that was going to happen. And then the woman came and was singing there, doing some...
Wait, how does that happen? Does he
she
just
came
say, like...
in. She just came in and started singing with her... I don't remember. There was like maybe a violinist or something next to her. I really can't recall, but it was very weird, and I didn't know how to dance to it, and I wasn't expecting it. And to be honest, I wasn't super in the mood to be having a moment like that with him. I just didn't feel like being really close to him. Do you know what I mean? Like talking with him, sure, but I didn't want to have like an intimate dancing moment with him. So that's why I started doing dance moves that I learned from Clueless.
That were more like friendly and funny and
spazzy. Yeah, because I was like, well, might as well just have fun with it. I just don't feel like having a super romantic moment right now.
Do you ever feel like the guys are kind of on the same page with you?
Could be. I imagine there's a range of emotions that they feel too. I think that it's like insane to expect that all of these people who never knew me and were never interested in me to begin with because they didn't know I existed in the world would all collectively be interested in me. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's not how it works.
Sure.
So in this stage and like in the beginning, I didn't really feel that everybody was. You just kind of narrow it down and figure it out as you go. So
yeah.
That could
okay.
be.
Okay, that makes sense. I'm with mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to move on to the group date. Chris, Thomas, Mikkel, and Sick Kev get picked for the physical lumberjack challenge. This French-Canadian lumberjack thing is quite a sight to behold. Mm. It's something that, it's like the Great White Buffalo. You know it exists, but you've just never seen it. You never connected the dots and go, okay, there's lumberjacks in Canada. There are French Canadians. Maple syrup mostly comes from Quebec. I know that. I didn't have to be told that. It was very weird because it's a mixture. Like, they don't go full lumberjack and they don't go full French. It truly is a blend. And it's just interesting. I don't know. I hope people really watch the episode and just really, I hope an American watch the episode because Canadians might be a little bit more used to it. But it is it's a vibe for mm-hmm. sure. It's a type of vibe. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my question is, because this is a date about strength, in your little intro to the date, you say, I consider myself a strong woman.
I'm only laughing
because you are strong emotionally. Do you consider yourself strong physically?
Do you want to see?
You are Shredsky.
That's a muscle.
I know the thing is now because we've had these conversations, I know that you don't really pick what happens on the dates and there's kind of a script and how you have to explain it.
I was always kind of given the task of tying the date activity into some sort of way that could reflect on
what
a relationship
like trait.
Yeah, some sort of personality trait or something. And so a lot of times it was very hard to find that connection. Sometimes I'd find the connection easily. In this situation, it was a little bit of a stretch.
A little bit. Okay, now here's two quick follow-up questions that have to do with your own personal strength, your physical fitness level.
Oh, no.
Do you think that you are stronger now that you actually consume water?
Mm-hmm. Perhaps.
Okay. What did you drink before you started drinking water? Did you just drink nothing at all or Coke or something?
I have an answer for you. And the best part about it is that my friend today messaged me and was like, have you told Cole about your, God, I wish I could find the exact quote, your like copious iced tea consumption? Because she obviously listened to the episode about the water.
Iced tea?
I used to exclusively drink. And my friends, my girlfriends will absolutely be able to attest to this, especially my ex-roommate Karen, who would hear me in the middle of the night clinking my glass because I was making that good host powdered iced tea mix.
Powdered iced tea mix.
I think that Good Host powdered iced tea, maybe you don't have it in the States.
Good Host.
It could be a Canadian treasure.
If it's called Good Host, I think it is. Powdered iced tea, I've never heard of in my entire life.
Oh my goodness.
I'm not a big iced tea drinker. I used to drink sun tea that my mom would brew in the sun, like in the summer months.
Oh, cute.
It's like
was it sweetened or no?
No.
Americans never, don't drink sweetened iced tea. That's the other weird thing.
No.
No, it's true. It's true. It's true. Let me explain.
Have you ever heard of the South?
Yes, they call it sweet tea, though. If you are in the States and you order iced tea, they're not going to bring you sweet iced tea. In Canada, if you order iced tea, it's always sweet.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah. That's a weird thing. But okay, so I used to... To answer your question about what I used to drink before water, I would drink other things, like other juices and things like that. But my replacement for water was Good Host powdered iced tea. I even have some in my cupboard because I went through a little kick of it last summer. And it is so delish. And that is what I would drink. Basically sugar mixed in water with citric acid, essentially. That's pretty much what it is.
How the fuck do you look the... How are you in any sort of health? You describe things to me about your past, and it's just flabbergasting that you are alive. Like, you should be... You know when you go on a walk on a beach and you find a dried up old fish? That's what you should look like. According to your history.
Yes, I know.
That's nuts.
I mean, Jasmine, I'm not, I wouldn't, I would definitely not classify myself in to be in good health.
Oh my gosh.
I would not.
Okay. That is wild. Okay. Anyway, let's get back to it. So they're kind of panning over all the guys on this lumberjack date. All the guys are going, oh, well, you know, I grew up on a farm, or I used to go out to the country all the time. You know, Thomas is in construction, so he knows what the fuck he's doing. Mikkel seems to know how to handle an axe. They're all kind of like man's men. Like, they've, you know, done outdoor things. And then you got Chris, who has some sort of bear strength kind of vibe going on. He's kind of a... He's a guy that you wouldn't want to really piss off to the point where he could kill you, because he might. He's kind of scary that way. They start going through the challenges, and they vary from chopping a little stump of wood, and this wood looks gnarly as hell, and I mean that literally. They're just kind of chopping this wood. It looks pretty brutal. Mikkel, boom, right through it. Thomas, right through it. The other guy, right through it. Chris, struggling. Then they have to nail these fucked up, like, Amish nails. These are like the band Nine Inch Nails is named after these fucking nails. They are, I don't know what you're building, like a ship in the 1500s with these things. There's literally no use for these. They are structural nails, and they're hammering them into a stump, which, again, I swear to God, one of the guys says no one would do that. But anyway, they're all going through it. Thomas is just absolutely nailing it. And Chris, again, is just literally, he is just seriously struggling. I mean, this poor guy is really giving it his all, sweating his fucking ass off. I mean, this guy is dripping sweat. He looks like he's in a Gatorade commercial. It is seriously wild to watch this guy. He's getting very scary.
Yeah, he's getting a little murdery.
Oh, yeah. He's getting Stephen King murdery vibes. So anyway, Thomas wins because he's the best of them all. And he gets the fastest time. And my question is, Thomas gets picked for the solo date. He does a great job. What do these guys do after you pick the solo date from the group date?
Well, I didn't pick the solo date. He won the solo date. And I remember...
Oh, sure.
I think at
so
the time
sometimes
I was...
they win and you say, fuck it, we're all going on a date. And sometimes they win and you go, it's you and me. I love it. It's still it's my favorite part of the show. That it's just like, go fuck yourself. Sometimes it's like purely about luck.
It's
at
true.
This point.
And in this situation, probably I would have liked to have everyone, because I think, if I can recall correctly, I'm pretty sure that I wanted Mikkel to win and he just didn't. And I was like, oh, shit.
Sure, I could see that.
And so... I went with Thomas, and that was nice. Like, I hadn't been on a date with him since the very first date of the whole season, but we had kind of, you know, because he was my first date, you kind of like drift away. The connection sort of fades, and sure. But it was nice. Whatever, it was nice. Before. And then we're in the cabin and we're having our little date, and he sings me a song, and I remember thinking, I don't want to get kissed, so I just kept that wine glass in front of my mouth. And if you watch the footage, you'll see it. And I got made fun of so much by the producers for it. They're like, you just kept that wine glass in front of your mouth the whole time. Like, I was just like this.
What's the mouth version of cock blocking?
That.
Oh, I know, but there's got to be a term for it. That's
all I'm term.
Saying.
Yeah,
you did
yeah.
that to a T, perfectly mm-hmm. executed. Mm-hmm. So
no, you're
fans,
right.
again, comment, shoot us a DM with what you think the mouth and / kissing version is of cock blocking. If we can find a fun way to say that, then we can coin it and Jasmine will be the first iteration of such behavior.
And we'll make a t-shirt.
Oh, fuck yeah, we'll make a t-shirt. We'll make so many t-shirts. he's singing to you and I don't like it. And it's incredibly obvious how much he wants to kiss you the entire time. I know we're kind of backtracking, but it's so weird how much he wants to kiss you. And then he also explains that he's just like... Like, I know you guys can't see, you're probably listening to this audio while you don't have the visuals, but I'm doing this kind of, if you're watching his eyes, which I do this because, you know, I'm a little weird, but when two people are hanging out and I can tell it's like a first date and I'm looking across from like a cafe and I see the guy constantly looking at her lips,
they want to
kiss. It's eyes, lips, eyes, lips, right. Eyes, lips. Like, men are just purely animals at that point, but it's very obvious he's just eyeing those lips. And I notice it now that you bring it up, you do kind of cock block him with mm-hmm. the wine glass. It's so funny, but he does eventually kiss you.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right? We have a little kiss. It's not much. I remember that. Yeah, but like, he was great. I really liked him a lot.
Slippery smooches.
I don't think there was any slipperiness at all. I think it was like a really quick smooch. It was like a smooch and a hug.
Ugh, that's rough.
Remember how I told you, I don't know if I told you this, Cole, but whenever you have a one-on-one date with someone, whether it's that they get a date card and it's a one-on-one, or it's one of these situations where they win the one-on-one, there's usually a rose there. And so you have to decide whether or not they're staying for another week. And in that situation where I wasn't really feeling it anymore, I should have probably not given him the rose. That's something that I should have not done. But it's not like I didn't like him anymore at all. But I should have probably thought more about like, okay, if I give him this rose, I mean someone else is leaving. I don't think I ever really took that into consideration. I just couldn't imagine sending someone home right then and there, like to their face, being like, there's a rose here and I'm sorry, I'm not going to give it to you. I never did that once in this season, I don't think.
Yeah.
And that would have sucked. People do that and I just, I just couldn't do it. I would just feel like such a dick.
Yeah, you're too nice. It's not a bad thing. No one deserves that. That's pretty brutal.
That would be mean.
Yeah. So let's move on. We go on to the second group date, which is a secret massage, which I have, at least 35 questions about.
We go to a spa.
Who thought of this one?
Oh, the secret.
In which you are blindfolded with the craziest, you're essentially wearing a training bra over your face. And you are super fucking blind. Like, you have no peripheral light at all. You are blacked out, essentially.
It was the biggest mask in the world. And it was so funny because I remember specifically requesting a mask that wouldn't squish my fake eyelashes, because my one request of the whole show was to always get my lashes done because I was addicted to them at the time. I don't have them anymore, but I just got them done and I was like, dude, I need these to last me the rest of the show. Like, please don't put a blindfold on me. I can't be having that. And then so they got me the biggest blindfold in the whole world and it still went on my eyelashes, but it also just covered three quarters of my face.
That's absolutely hilarious. Oh my God. You look absolutely nuts. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of questions. I just find it incredibly, I don't know what I'm okay. Now I know Drew says this almost exactly, but I like to give massages. I think most men either really like to give massages or don't like to give massages. This date is weird. I think sharing one human being that you're all into and all giving her different types of massages and treatments, which really, let's be honest, the only ones that are good, the foot massage, which pretty much he's giving you a pedicure. All the other ones are sexy. The foot one, yeah, that's rough. That's rough. I massage all day. Hand stuff, let's go. But foot stuff, that takes special person.
Some people would really love that.
Oh, there's nothing I hate more than when you, I don't get feet. I think it's completely fine if people are into feet.
But even just like a foot massage, like do you not like the feeling of a foot massage?
This is going to get not suitable for work, but if you're watching porn and they're going at it and everything is, you know, hunky dory, and then
hunky dory is how I would describe porn.
Porn. Yes. If they're just slamming away on porn, sometimes when they're doing the old wheelbarrow, the legs are up in the air. The guy will be going, having a good time, doing what he does, both very professional. And then he just goes, argh, and he just like eats her foot. And I immediately close my laptop and go to bed.
Oh my God. Why? Why? Why does that trigger you?
I don't care if it's Angelina Jolie. I'm not like, ooh, let me get them toes. Like, again, I'm saying all of this theoretically and in my, you know, my how I look at the world. If you're into feet, God be with you. That's amazing. Go for it. Find a partner who likes to have their feet sucked. But I'm not into that.
Okay, and but we're not even talking about any feet kinda, in mouth had, situation or anything sexual. Like,
so this is why this came up, because so I'll break it down. There's three guys. You've got fucking Beignet, Drew, and Kevin W. Kevin Fire.
Why Drew do you call him gets, Beignet? Is really my first and only interruption. You just like
he's
it.
French.
Okay, but it's Benoit.
His name is Benoit, and it's French, so Beignet.
Okay.
I give all the guys nicknames.
Okay. I just want to make sure that you knew his real name.
Oh, I know it's Benoit. Okay. I call him Benoit sometimes. But anyway, so Drew gets a back massage, essentially. So he immediately wins. Also, real quick question. Do you know how they select which guy gets which thing? How the fuck does that work?
I don't remember.
We got to get one of the guys on here, because there's a few questions that I think only pertain to the guys, in which I'd love to know, like, how they just go, oh, I got selected for back massage. And it's like, how? Like, what are your qualifications? How do you know how to give a back massage? Did they have a questionnaire 3 months ago in which they said, do you like to give massages? Are you into feet? Kevin was like, I really like feet. I love sucking on a big toe. I just don't get it. It's so weird. But anyway, okay. So Drew gets back massaged. Drew gets back massaged. Benoit gets hands. And Kevin Fire gets feet. Drew says he is given, he gets this interview and he goes, I've given a ton of massages. That's it. That's all we need to know about the whole Drew experience. So Benoit is doing his whole hand thing, right? He's doing a manicure, and then he gives you kind of a hand massage, and then he sucks your finger. Which is a very Benoit thing to do. Yeah. So Benoit of him.
I knew it was him immediately in that moment.
And so I was like, okay, these guys are getting a little cheeky. They're all trying to do something a little extra because it's already so close and there's a lot of physical touch. Mm-hmm. Benoit throats your finger. And then as soon as I saw that, it switches over to Kevin Fire and he has a pedicure. And I go, oh, if Kevin puts one of your toes in his mouth.
No, you're going to close your laptop and go to bed.
I was just waiting for him to, you know, create some of that toe dust with the little sander he's got and just like clean it off with his mouth.
Oh, that is sick.
Anyway, this date really, I mean, I'm not even really getting into it because it is, I have so many questions about it, and we'll have to get into it offline because it's too much for this podcast, but it's a wild date. Honestly, if you're not following me on the episodes, I would recommend just watch episode 4. You might even be able to find it on YouTube. Go to episode 5 and look up the massage date because it is something else.
And if you do want to watch the whole thing and follow along with Cole, we should throw it in the podcast here that you can watch on HBO Max in the US. You can watch on Apple TV, Google Play, YouTube, whatever in Canada. You might have to purchase it, but I would say it's worth it. And you know what? You could always win one of our contests if you review our podcast and give us a 5-star review so you could get your money back and then some.
Boom, there we go, guys. But anyway, that massage then goes on to a different part of the spa in which these guys all get into a hot tub with you. And right. The first quote that we it was hot and steamy. The first quote that we have is from Drew, and he says, "I'm not here to start drama with the other guys. I'm not here to compete. There is no competition." And then he has a quick conversation with you. You guys, you know, you kind of do your little pull-aways and you go off to a little bench or a little seating area about 14 feet away from the other hot tub and the other guys hanging out in there. Mm-hmm. And have these little conversations. Your first conversation is with Drew. Don't know what you guys talk about because I black out during all of your interactions with that man. But he comes away and I immediately come back, you know, to life. I come out of it. And he has this little interview where he's just nodding along and listening to all the things you're saying, responding and doing his little sociopath thing. And then it goes to an interview of him after your little one-on-one is over. And he just goes, "I just told her exactly what she wants to hear."
Yeah. And I kissed him for the first time. It wasn't bad. Yeah. I hate to say it.
Of course he's a good kisser.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cute. I mean, is anyone surprised?
And then the boys got wasted in the hot tub while I was away with Drew. Wasted.
Ooh, yeah.
You get super drunk when you're in the hot tub, so.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that's the only place I drink. Right now, I'm in a small tub.
You drink in your small tub? You just go into your bathtub and drink?
Yeah.
When?
Fucking lit. Do it all the time.
Every day?
I would love to try to take a... Okay, you know how like influencer girls take a picture in like a bathtub and there's suds and stuff?
Mm-hmm. You want to take that picture?
I'd love to get all 6'4", 200 pounds of me into my small motherfucking tub. Foot bath tub.
Cole, we have an Instagram page that's just dying for
just
that
dying
photograph.
Just dying for this content. I'm 100% down to do it. I'll Great. Get Deanna to help me. Next time I have just Thank a you. Rainy day and we'll go do it. Okay. But anyway, so these guys are getting absolutely hamstered in the tub. And Kevin... Oh, there's this great scene. So Drew is talking with you, right? And Kevin is hanging out with Benoit. And Benoit doesn't really speak English. But one of the producers is like, Benoit, piss him off. Just, you know, say a little something. Say, I wonder what Jasmine and Drew are doing. They've probably been doing something tricky. And he says literally that. He's like, oh, I wonder what they're doing. I wonder if they're doing something interesting. Well, he just says it in his weird little way. And Kevin goes, yeah. And just gets out of the tub and walks over about halfway and does this little fucking lemur peek. And sees you just getting throated by Drew.
Oh, my God.
And he just goes... And then goes back to get absolutely blitzkrieged in the tub with Ben White.
And that's precisely what happens. I mean, not the throating and not the... But he definitely goes back upset and gets blitzed. So blitzed that when they're recording like any of his interviews... There wasn't much usable footage, apparently.
Yeah, there's a lot of weird tension in the hot tub after that whole instance with the Drew, and Kevin's acting like a little bitch.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so we're going to swing back over to the cocktail party, and I'm realizing, this is a quick note, Chris doesn't know how to have fun at all. The rest of the guys seem to be accepting that there's like a contest side to it. Hmm. So the guys are kind of acting aptly, and he's just acting like...
Yeah, they're kind of making the most of it, I think, the guys.
Yeah, the guys are going for it. They're playing the game, and he seems to not really be into it. And so I wrote just then, Chris is gonzo. Prediction, rose removal.
Uh-oh.
Cocktail party happens. All I'm saying is, I know I predicted Chris would go home, but I hope sick Kev doesn't go home, because he was another kind
Kev
of
now.
I like sick Kev. Kevin, you know, he put away that uke, and he got real, and I'm really into it. He's a very sweet guy. I liked how he was with the kids in Jamaica or wherever you guys were, and I just you know, I like him. I want to see where he goes. Anyway, I'm wondering, my question is, how long before the rose ceremony do you decide who gets the rose?
You know what? I wish that I had a solid answer for you on this, but it's something that I just don't remember. I don't remember.
I would imagine it would vary, though, right?
It would vary, but there was always the discussion that I had to have with the producers, usually like maybe that afternoon or the evening or when I was getting ready or something,
sure.
Where it was like, okay, like, what's your thought, you know? And I would have that conversation. Sometimes it was very obvious, and sometimes I kind of wanted to talk it through a little bit because I wasn't 100% sure.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, I know that you're about to get into the rose removal ceremony there, but I don't remember what happened. I don't remember where we're at.
This is perfect, because the thing that's kind of great about the show is, if, you know, Jasmine's not really watching along because she lived it.
I should watch along, but it's triggering.
You should. I think after this episode, you should watch along.
It puts me in the weirdest and most upsetting mood.
I don't know how you want to go about doing that, but yeah. I don't know. Maybe you fast forward. You put it on mute. Just put it on mute.
I think I could do it for the next little while. It's just I can't watch the
last
episode.
Put it in French.
Okay, fine.
Okay. So anyway, there's a little cocktail party, and you and Chris finally says to himself in a little interview, he goes, "Ooh, yeah, I'm going to get some alone time with Jasmine finally, because this guy has been given zero chances." He says he wants to do two things. I have no fucking idea what the first one was. Can't remember for the life of me. Anyway, he says he wants to do two things. He does whatever the first one is. And then he says, "And I want to do this." And he goes in to kiss you. And I don't know what you do, but I'm going to pretend the mic is his face. And you go, he goes, "And I want to do this." And you just kind of push his face away from your face.
Do I? God. Cole, you have no
idea.
That's
how I remember it.
Okay, this... Can I get into this right now?
It's one of the most brutal things in film history. I mean, I've seen some brutal deaths. This one is more tragic.
Oh, my God. Okay, can I tell you about it a little bit?
Tell me everything.
Okay, earlier in the evening, before I really knew what was going to happen, like probably lead maybe a couple hours before this cocktail party, I had kind of made my decision, yeah, that I probably was going to have to say goodbye to Chris. And it was not an easy decision because he was such a nice guy, and it really, really, really hurt me to do. And I was talking to the producers about it, and I was like, "Yeah, okay, I'm going to." And they're like, "If he tries to kiss you tonight, what are you going to do?" And I was like, "I don't know." And they were like, "Well, you can't kiss him, obviously, if he tries to kiss you." But me, like I said, for example, with the one-on-one dates and the rose that I would have a hard time not giving it, even if I didn't want to, I was almost feeling a bit of that. Like, I don't want to put you through the rejection of it. But I had that conversation with them earlier, and they were like, "You really can't do that to someone." And I was like, "You know what? You're 100% right. I can't. If he does try to kiss me, God for freaking bid, I'm going to have to reject him, and that's going to suck. I don't want to do that." And then it happened, and I had to follow through with the rejection, and it was awful, and I felt terrible about it.
Well, I had to do it. I hope this makes you feel better.
Okay, give it to me.
Chris saw it in a completely different way, and you made up something that essentially was like, "Oh, I don't want to kiss now because I want to build a connection." What you did was almost worse than just kissing.
I know.
It's everyone's fault. Everyone is to blame.
It's me. I'm to blame.
Yeah, a little bit. And it's one of the most brutal things I've ever heard is his reaction to you telling him that is, "I've got a chance. She wants me to stay around because she didn't want to kiss me. And that's a good thing." I paused it and I had to go for a 3 mile walk. After he said that, there was only 3 minutes left in the episode, and I knew that he was going to be removed, but I didn't want to see it happen because it was just soul crushing.
I was a coward about it. Really, truthfully, I was a coward. I didn't know how to reject him flat out. I just couldn't. I'm not good at that. I just couldn't do it. He was such a sweet person. I knew that I was going to send him home. And like, that sucks too, that I would not just be honest and tell him that. I don't even remember having that thought in my mind that that could have been an option. I just couldn't do it to his face. I don't know. I feel so bad about it. And hard. I cried.
Yeah, no, I know.
That came later. The crying came later.
Yeah. Anyway, as you can clearly tell and potentially remember, Chris is thus removed at the rose removal ceremony and is pretty crushed. And just like that, Chris is gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's just pretty brutal. I'd have to say, now, of all the guys that I've seen in the show come and go, Chris is the guy that 5 years later, I expect to be married and potentially with one child. That's just what I'm saying. That seems like that guy has been too nice of a guy his whole life and just been trampled on by shitty people.
Including
And
me.
He had this, well, yes, you are a part of the trampling. And then he got off the show and something in the universe switched and he met Keira Knightley at a coffee bar. And now they have a kid.
I would love that.
That'd be fantastic. Yeah, I hope that guy's doing well. Chris, if you're out there, sup, dude. But yeah, that's the end of this episode.
I gotta finish telling you about what happened after Chris.
Oh boy, okay.
After that, I was very sad. I felt like the worst human being on the planet, and I went into a stairwell, and I sat there, and I cried my face off. And Claire, the executive producer, came in, and she was awesome. She was comforting. She was understanding of how I was feeling and felt the same way. I think everyone was pretty sad. I think she even cried with me, to be honest. I think she did. And that's when she announced the Morocco thing, which I didn't know, and it did lift my spirits a bit, but of course I was still feeling like the worst person. But it was really sweet of her to like try to cheer me up. And then I went out and announced it to the guys, and that was it.
So that is episode 5. Jasmine and the boys are all done with Montreal, and they are now headed to North Africa, Morocco, for some camel adventures.
Thank you for being here. We love you so much. Don't forget to subscribe. Make sure that if you're listening, you're also subscribed. And leave us a 5-star review if you wouldn't mind. We really appreciate it. We're just a small-time little Canadian podcast, and we don't get paid. So we would really, really, really love that from you. Thank you.
That would be fantastic.
Okay. See you next time.
Okay, bye-bye.